Please pray with me. Gracious God, open our eyes to your living word of resurrection. Amen. In the 1950s and 60s, there was a famous line of Supreme Court cases in which the justices struggled over a definition. From case to case, the justices went back and forth over what the appropriate definition was. Even within the same case, they would write separate opinions. One justice would say, "This is what it is." But then another justice would write and say, no, this is what it is," back and forth, each trying to capture just what it was that they were trying to describe. Then, in 1963, in one of those cases, Justice Potter Stewart, in a fit of honesty and candor, wrote a five-sentence concurring opinion that cut right to the chase. In that opinion, Justice Stewart threw up his hands and said, "I can't tell you what this is, and I may never be able to tell you, but I know it when I see it." I know it when I see it. In this morning's gospel text, the two travelers on the road to Emmaus don't even get that far. In this story, the two travelers encounter resurrection face to face, and they don't even know it when they see it. And that's not meant to fault them for that. That is the way of most resurrection stories in the gospel. Think about it. In the Gospel of John, Mary Magdalene discovers the empty tomb, and as she is grieving, Jesus comes to her, and Mary doesn't know who he is. She actually thinks that he is the gardener. And so she asks Jesus, if he knows what has happened to Jesus. It's only when Jesus says her name, Mary, that she knows who he is. She recognizes the resurrected Christ standing there right in front of her. And then there's Thomas. The other disciples tell him that they have seen Jesus, but he says, "I need to see it for myself." And it's only when Jesus offers Thomas his wounded hands that Thomas recognizes Jesus and says, "My Lord and my God." Each of these stories is about recognizing resurrection. For all these folks, their world has fallen apart. Jesus has been crucified. They saw that, they know that, and now they are grieving and bewildered. And as they wander around dazed and confused, they run into the risen Christ. But the thing about resurrection in these stories is that you don't know it when you see it. Not at first. So this morning, we come upon these two travelers who are walking on the road to a town called Emmaus. We meet them at a very dark moment. They have been following Jesus, following him as he has taught and as he has healed. They have sat with him at table. They have heard him say that things will change. "I come to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the prisoner, to set the oppressed free." But now, this Jesus who said all that, he has been crucified. And these two travelers are here walking along this road trying to make sense of what has happened. And then there Jesus is. He comes up alongside them, but they don't recognize him. And Jesus says, "Hey, what are you talking about?" And they say, basically, "Where have you been? We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about what everyone is talking about." And they tell the whole story of Jesus to Jesus. He was a man, a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. But the chief priests and our leaders handed him over. He was convicted and they crucified him. And then in just a heartbreaking moment, the travelers say, "But we had hoped. We had hoped that he was the one, that he was the one who was about to redeem Israel. And now even his body is gone from the tomb, as if crucifixion and death were not loss enough." They tell Jesus all this, still not recognizing him. So Jesus says, "Don't you see?" And he explains it all, beginning with Moses, the law, the prophets. Jesus himself connects for them Scripture and everything that has happened, all these things. He connects everything that Scripture says about him. And they listen, still not recognizing him. And they arrive in Emmaus. Jesus acts as if he's going on, but they say, look, it's getting late. Why don't you stay here with us? Have a bite to eat. Rest. It's really quite lovely. Some stranger that they met on the road who hasn't heard the news, but who seems to understand something, they invite him in to dinner, still not recognizing who he is. And when he is at table with them, Jesus takes bread and he blesses it and he breaks it and he gives it to them, and they know. They know who this is in the breaking of the bread. They have been here before at this table. They have received this blessing and they have shared this bread at last. They recognize the risen Christ in the breaking of the bread, not when they see Jesus, not when he speaks, not in the words, not in the rehashing of the story, not even when Jesus himself explains everything that has happened. It is in the breaking of the bread. Jesus took bread. He blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. It is in the breaking of the bread that they recognize Jesus. But it sure has taken a while. It's not quite as obvious as one would think, this encountering life in the midst of so much death. That is the way of resurrection. For these travelers and for everyone in the Gospels, resurrection is hard to explain. It's even hard to know it when you see it. And it's even harder for us. We weren't there. We didn't know Jesus or see Jesus when he was walking around Judea and Jerusalem. We didn't hear Jesus teach. We didn't see him heal the woman who had been bleeding for years or help the man born blind to see. We weren't there a couple thousand years ago in those first experiences of resurrection. And it's hard sometimes even to imagine resurrection in this world, in our day, even in Easter season. That's been particularly true for me this year. Easter was quite a celebration, and then just a few days later, while the lilies were still out, a massive tornado swept through my home state of Alabama. I sat down at my desk at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon and saw on Facebook, yes, I was looking at Facebook while I was at work, saw on Facebook that friends were updating and sending messages from their basements. Tuscaloosa had already been hit. I called friends there, thankful to hear their voices, and then was able to watch live coverage as the tornado moved through my hometown of Birmingham. Trying to figure out where loved ones were in relation to what was unfolding on the screen. And my partner and I are very thankful that our friends and family are accounted for. But by now we have all seen the pictures and we know the massive destruction and the heartbreaking human loss. Hard to even think of resurrection. Friends in Birmingham told me that bits of paper, a driver's license, landed in their front yards from Tuscaloosa, 60 miles away. And that has happened all along the tornado's path. Maybe you've heard about the woman in Lester, Alabama, who started a Facebook page where folks who found these personal items, photos, sonogram pictures, official documents, mementos, fragments of a life, could post pictures of these items in the hopes of returning them to those who had lost so much or to their families. And it's working. One woman wrote under a photo, "That man is my granddaddy." It would mean a lot for me to have that picture. And she has it now. And this page has gone beyond its original intention as folks offer words of encouragement and kindness and prayers to those who are still looking, trying to piece their lives back together. Others have started posting ways that people can help with the disaster relief efforts. So this Facebook page has become a memorial to what has been lost and a meeting ground for reaching out and for consolation and a witness to ordinary people moving into the wake of massive destruction and taking care of each other. And then there's some fishermen from the Gulf Coast, from Bayou La Batterie, Alabama, about 4 or 5 hours from Tuscaloosa, who saw the destruction on the news and came to Tuscaloosa to help. Because you see, these fishermen had been hit by Hurricane Katrina. And they had been helped by people from all over the country. So as they watched the news, they loaded up a generator, drove to Tuscaloosa, set up a kitchen in a church building that survived the tornado, and they are there bringing their daily catch up from the Gulf, feeding people who have no home, no electricity. They are breaking bread together, feeding folks with loaves and fishes. Amazing stories of deep, deep compassion. Now, I should probably say this. I'm not sharing these stories to suggest that in the face of great loss, we should just look on the bright side. I'm not saying that, because the loss and the hurt are still real. The folks in the Gospels, even at the table where Jesus breaks the bread, are still hurting. But we come back to stories like this. We cling to stories like these, even in the midst of great loss. So I'll just say this. When we recognize resurrection, it seems to have something to do with love. Each time in the Gospels, when someone recognizes the risen Christ, it has something to do with love. Mary Magdalene. She thinks that Jesus is the gardener, and then Jesus calls her by name, Mary. In a voice that she knows, as only one person who loves her can say her name, Mary. She recognizes resurrection. She gets a glimpse of resurrection. Thomas. I won't believe it until I see it. And so Jesus comes to Thomas and opens up his hands, shows Thomas his wounds. All this, Thomas, for you. Greater love has no one than this, that they would lay down their life for their friends. And Thomas knows. Thomas knows that he has glimpsed resurrection. In the two travelers on the road to Emmaus, Jesus takes bread and blesses it and breaks it and gives it to them. And they know in their bones that they have been fed like this before. They have seen this traveling companion of theirs feed 5,000 with loaves and fishes. They have eaten at table with Jesus again and again. They have seen Jesus take bread, bless it, break it and say, "This is my body, broken for you." Someone calls us by name. Someone opens themselves to us. Someone breaks bread with us and offers us food. This is for you. Someone picks up some photos in their front yard and knows that someone somewhere loves that person in that picture, and they set out to track them down. Someone who was affected by Hurricane Katrina 5 years ago sees the picture of 15th Street in Tuscaloosa, and they know that hurt. They know it. So they pack up their latest catch of fresh fish, load up a generator, and they come and they cook and they share a meal. They break bread, they eat fish, they share life, even in sorrow and grieving. What we know when we see these things is this: love survives. When all is said and done and life has thrown at us its very worst, what survives of us is love. What we get in these moments is a glimpse of resurrection. What we offer to each other in love and kindness and tenderness, even in our deep, great hurt, is new life. And if this is so, then it calls us to something more. Mary and Thomas and the two travelers, they go and they tell what they have seen. They gather together and they share their stories and they break bread, sharing what they have, and they move out into the world knowing that resurrection is not just for them alone. And as they move into Pentecost, they will become the church, the body of Christ, crucified but resurrected, bringing life into a broken and hurting world. The thing about resurrection is this: if we want to see it, and if we want to know it, we need to live it, and we need to give it to the world. God brings new life to us even now, to us, in and through us, as we offer ourselves to each other in love. A glimpse of resurrection here, a glimpse of resurrection there. In the midst of all the hurt in the world, resurrection calls us to open ourselves up to the impossible possibility of God and to be for each other new life. Bread for the hungry, release for the captive. A photo returned as we say, "I am so sorry for your loss." New life, new hope, one glimpse at a time. And as we talk about new life, I want to say just one more thing. I'm so glad to be with you today. It's so exciting to be in the midst of you as you celebrate calling a new minister. Over the months, I've heard from some of you that this has been a long journey. It's good to be with you in this moment of joy, of new possibility, of new life, to wait and to hope and to anticipate the new life that you are bringing and that you will bring into the world God loves. It is a good thing. These resurrection stories take life seriously. They stand in the midst of our real life and they say quite honestly, you know, life is hard. They stand in the midst of all that and they point us toward something more. They point us toward what God is doing in the world. They point us toward new life. They point us toward love. And in the end, they point us to the day when God's work in us will be complete. A new heaven and a new earth. New life. Resurrection manifest in the whole of creation. And my friends, we will know it when we see it, and we will live it together forever.